So how's your fitness going? Are you getting your 30 minutes a day? Sarah Barnett certainly is. Oh, hang on. She's getting more like 8 hours or so. Sarah is a marathon runner. When she's not competing, you might see her on the streets of Adelaide clocking up 200 kilometres a week as she commutes on foot between jobs. And when she is competing, you're more likely to spot her somewhere between the Netherlands and Turkey pushing a baby stroller filled with camping gear and spare runners. Or, this race was amazing, she ran a less than 1 metre loop over and over again for thousands of kilometres day after grinding day. We threw a net over her and dragged her into the studio recently. How do you do an ultra marathon on a track less than a kilometre long?
You just keep running in circles. We all had to be at the starting line at 6 a.m. and then you just keep going in one direction around the loop.
So you don't even get to reverse directions for a bit of...
No. Like every day they change.
Spice it up
the next
bit.
Day we go back and then they do the opposite direction. So every day you go back and it's a new direction. So
you start at 6 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. How far are you trying to run each day?
Oh, you had to do basically approximately 100 Ks.
So 100 Ks. So 100 times around this silly concrete loop, more actually.
I think about 105 or something laps. So, then we had till midnight to finish that. And then you get to sleep for maybe 4 hours. You get picked up and taken to a little room just to sleep and shower. And then you get picked up in the morning to come back to the start again. So,
That sounds like there's probably a law against an international war crime. That's torture.
It is. It's very zen. Most of the runners are like these big Russian or Eastern European runners, and they're very focused. And so it's an interesting experience, definitely.
And how long would it take you to run the 100 kilometres each day?
Oh, it took me almost the whole day. Like, I would have maybe a half an hour sleep at about midday. They had some little vans just parked on the side of the street. And so I'd dive in to one at about midday and have a quick half hour sleep. And then I'd be out again and running till midnight.
And how many days did you do this for?
That was 50 days. You had up to 52 days to complete it. So, yeah.
It's extraordinary. So 50 days. What are you doing as you run around in circles? Are you talking to these giant Russians?
Yeah, everyone is different. Every runner's different. Some people like to stay quite silent because often, you're in the middle of the heat in New York, so it's pretty tough. So some people like to just really go inside and be quite silent, maybe listen to some music, and others are very chatty. So depends on the runner. I formed some friendships with some of the runners, so I'd really look forward to having a joke with them or, especially if you're a bit injured, you just want to, share the experience.
How do those conversations go? This is crap. Let's stop and go and get a hamburger.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is like that. Like, what are we doing here? And other times it's just someone will say a joke and make you really laugh. And you kind of hit the highs and lows of your emotions. So you might be crying for a couple of laps or laughing or, I discovered because it's run by a spiritual group, they didn't really like the men and women to mix too much. So I had to try and not talk to some of the men too much.
It was hardly a moment for romance. What did they think would happen?
Exactly. Oh, totally. So that was a little bit political, but I soon learned to kind of, shut my mouth a little bit and just keep running. So
I read you went through 16 pairs of shoes. So as you're diving into the van, you're pulling on a new pair of shoes occasionally.
That could have been a bit of an exaggeration, I think, but most runners would probably go through about 8 to 10 pairs because of the concrete you wear through the soles quite quickly. I saw some of the Russians, they might only have 2 or 3 pairs for the whole race and they don't have a lot of money. So I really learnt that we take a lot of things for granted, and some of these Eastern Europeans are so tough mentally. They don't know you need all the gadgets and all the iPads and iPods and the special watches and all this stuff that we kind of think we need. They just run and they're very focused and just do it for the joy of running. So
why do you do it?
Also for the joy of running. And I think mentally I just feel a lot clearer. Like if I go out and run every day, I think it gets everything in perspective. You know, we get so caught up in the little mundane things of life, but for me, it's really like a meditation. I go out for a run every morning and every evening. And yeah, it can be a really spiritual sort of thing. It's just time for yourself, you know, away from all the busyness of life. Mm. So,
and that's a really good advertisement for running, I don't know,
yeah,
5 kilometres 3 times a week. I'm still on that concrete track in New York. Why do you keep going there?
I mean, I was pretty fascinated by that race because it's so extreme, and I asked for many years if I could run it, and the race directors would always say no. You know, you have to have a lot more experience, and they need to know that you're going to be able to do 100 k's like for 50 days. So I did a lot of races like to kind of build up to that, and I guess it's just challenge, like, and it's also, it's just running and eating and sleeping. It's a very simple existence out there, and I think you get to contemplate things in your mind that we don't often think about, and just the meaning of life maybe, you know, when you're out there.
What does it do to your body to do that for that long?
Well, you lose a fair bit of weight, even though you're eating a lot. Like they have a lot of food, and especially really creamy things with high kilojoules. It's all kind of vegetarian and pure sort of food. So I think physically it's very good for the body. Like you,
But round and round on the concrete, I mean, your knees must be just smashed.
Yeah. I think the first couple of weeks I found it hard to sleep because you'd lay down at night and your body would kind of be aching. You'd sort of feel that you're still pounding on the concrete. But then after that, the body really adjusts.
And what is it about you that you go looking for these extreme experiences?
Well, I'm not really sure because I was a pretty lazy kid, actually. Like, I just prefer to sit in front of the TV.
And if I'd said to you at 15, you are going to run 4,960 kilometres, excuse me, over 50 days, 100 k's per day, what would you have said?
I mean, I just couldn't believe it. I think if you asked me 10 years ago.
Get away from that woman. She's crazy.
Yeah, for sure.
And so when was the moment where you looked at that and thought, there's an interesting goal?
You know, I had Sri Chinmoy as a meditation teacher for about a decade, and this is the person who was the founder of a lot of these long races. And he just said there is no such thing as impossibility. You know, it's just in our minds, a lot of it, and we don't use our full potential, whether it's playing a musical instrument or cycling or swimming the English Channel or whatever it is, we kind of limit ourselves and we think, you know, we just have our daily life. But he said, no, like just smash all that illusion. It's just in our minds. And if we really set a high goal, and it may take 10 years to reach it, and it may take getting up early every morning and going out for your jog and getting to the gym or whatever, but he said, just have this goal in mind. And
because why, Sarah? Because?
Ah, that's a hard question, but...
Because then you'll be living fully, because then you'll experience life to the fullest. Is that the point?
I think so. Like whatever it is that inspires you. And he said we all have a soul inside us that is unseen, and we all have a definite purpose on this earth. And often we get lost and we don't realise what it is, whether it's to become a TV announcer or, you know, whatever it is. Yeah, and so I think that's everyone's purpose, is to find what you're here for. You know, I can't say for sure that this is my full purpose, is just running in circles. But, you know, maybe it's on the way to what I could possibly become, you know. So
it is your full purpose at this point in life.
Yeah.
You run 200 kilometres a week. You seem to spend all your time and effort fundraising to get yourself to the next race. How do you raise the money?
Oh, just through my own work. I don't...
So you work as a cleaner?
Yeah. Yes. So I run to my jobs, so that's kind of good. I get my training in. I usually run to my jobs.
So let me think. You get out of the bed in the morning...
Yeah.
Or do you put the jiff into a bucket? Is that, and then you...
Oh, no, I just, if I get a call for a cleaning job, I just explain to people that I'll be running and if I could use their products and their vacuum cleaner. And so it's very simple. I don't have any costs. I just kind of run to each job and then I go out and join a running training group in the evening. And I mean, I do other things. I like writing poetry and reading, but it's pretty limited time with other things. So.
And to get that 200 Ks in every week into your legs.
Yeah, but it kind of adds up. You know, you just do 5K here and 10K there, and by the end of the day, you've done 30K. So,
I don't believe you for a second. I couldn't do that. It's taken you extraordinary places. Let's get you off that concrete track in New York. Yeah. 7,000 kilometres from the top of Norway to Turkey. How did you even hear about that opportunity?
Oh, you know, these things come up. I just met a Danish runner at a race in South Africa, actually. And I'd recognised him because I'd read about him in a magazine article that he's this crazy runner who runs across continents. And I just said, I know you. I've read about you, you know. And then he said, oh, yeah, I'm starting a new run, you know. If you'd like to join me, we could start together. So then I realised I just quit my job and moved out of my rental place and went to the top of Norway. So, and then we just started running about 50 Ks a day, like down through Europe and Eastern Europe. And it was really amazing.
But now, forget about the jiff and the bucket. Where's your passport? Where is everything?
Oh, we just kept everything in like a baby stroller. So we each had a little baby stroller and we kept documents and our running shoes and
what you'd push this in front of you as you ran along.
Yeah, we each pushed a little baby stroller, so sometimes we'd be on the highways just pushing baby strollers.
And
so,
what's in there beyond your passport? What's in there? The tent, I suppose.
Little tent and sleeping bag and a few clothes. So
tin of soup.
Yeah, some tins of soup. We ate a lot of baked beans. So it was pretty basic, but he actually had organised some sponsorships, so at least we had like a daily $20 a day for food, and so it wasn't totally roughing it. We had a little bit of funding, so yeah, that was really good.
But beyond the 50 kilometres a day, which in itself is the biggest obstacle for most of us, I mean, where do you sleep and, I mean, shower, and how do you figure all that out?
Yeah, sometimes we didn't shower, we'd just sleep in a tent, but every 3 days or so we'd go to a little hotel room, because he had to plug in his phone so that he could keep a record with GPS. And so he needed every 3 days to plug in the phone, and he'd send a daily report, you know, on the internet about what we were doing. And so it wasn't completely out in the sticks. We kind of had some luxury. So.
And tell me, what was that like? I mean, to run across the whole of Europe, from the top of Europe all the way to Turkey.
Oh, it's fascinating, you know, because I hadn't seen much of Europe, and especially places like Romania. And I mean, sometimes it felt like we were back in the 50s, because there'd be farmers with horse and cart just going along the road. You know, it was pretty amazing, pretty poor people. And so it was just like you're a little bird just watching the whole world, and things would change very slowly. Like, we're so used to getting on a plane and suddenly being in Rome or something. But here, every step was just very slow. So you'd see changes in nature and the seasons, and that was pretty amazing. But it was, I mean, being 24 hours a day with one other person, we did have our moments where we would disagree on things. And
oh, that's a bit of a problem, isn't it? Don't look at me, don't talk to me. Did that happen?
Well, we needed our own space for sure.
I'm going to Hungary, you run through Romania.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll see you in Austria. Is that the sort of thing?
A little bit like a bad marriage, yeah.
And did you aim for rural areas, or did you run through the middle of cities and piazzas as well?
Often we try and sidestep the cities, because it's easy to get lost right in the middle of a big city. So,
God forbid you should run in circles, hey?
Yeah, I know. That's it. Yeah. So,
what's the best experience you've ever had in a place or in your own mind as an ultra marathoner?
Oh, look, every race is so different, and you can never predict what's going to happen. Last year I did a race in New York where it was a sprint finish at the end between myself and the second place runner. And so we were on the same lap. After 10 days, we were chasing each other. And so that can be pretty exciting. After 10 days, you're sprinting to the finish line.
How far had you run before the sprint?
About 1,000 Ks. So, the last 2 hours of the race, we were chasing each other on the same lap. So that was really intense. And it was kind of childlike. We were like really chasing each other. So.
So you do 1,000 kilometres and the last
it's a sprint finish.
Yeah, for the equivalent of a half marathon.
Yeah, it's
how fast do you sprint after 1,000 kilometres?
Oh God, not very fast, but it felt
six minute Ks at that point?
I mean, we were just using every ounce of our last energy, basically. So it could be really slow to look at, but we were both really like half a lap between us. So, those finishes are pretty intense.
And you don't sound like a typical runner in that, you know, you imagine somebody with a Garmin watch on. I once saw somebody at a half marathon who had a T-shirt on that said, "If I collapse, stop my Garmin."
Yeah, no, I don't even wear a watch, actually, like any watch. I try and just feel the running like I'm really useless with all this technology. I don't understand it all and it confuses me. So
music?
Music sometimes, especially in these long races, I get a little bit bored sometimes. So, yeah, I might just even listen to the radio and that kind of focuses me again. So.
And is there any particular music for the amateur runners among us that you can listen to that absolutely will get you that extra 990 kilometres?
I can't recommend whatever gives you joy, whether it's
sitting
80s
down,
pop music.
Sitting down gives me joy.
That's it. Yeah, me too. But no, whatever you like, yeah, I don't have any great recommendations.
And how old are you now?
I'm 40.
And how long can you keep doing this with the body that you have?
I'm hoping, I mean, I've got some people at my training sessions each night who are in their 80s, and my coach here is actually 75, and he beats me every week on a 5K race. We do a 5K race together, and he's doing like almost 20 minutes for a 5K and he's 75 years old. I mean, you would not believe these people in their 70s and 80s. They're still, you know, really strong. So, and in ultra running, I mean, often in your 50s, you will reach your peak. So
is it addictive?
Yeah. Oh, I guess you could say that because I think if we don't do it every day, we get a little bit edgy. So in some ways, I think it's better for people's families because people come back from a run so much happier. So I think most husbands and wives are pretty tolerant because they know their spouse is going to come back a lot happier. So, yeah.
Oh, I didn't ask you. Have you got a spouse who's happier when you come back from a run?
No, I don't, but you know, things may change. I'm seeing somebody. So whether I settle down and have a family and that, I'm just not sure. I'm kind of open to anything, but I still enjoy my running no matter what happens. So, yeah.
Someone's just put on the screen, you all must be listening to Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah.
It's the only explanation.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, it's inspiring.
It's on your iPod, is it?
Oh, I don't have an iPod.
Oh, stop it.
You know, on my radio, sometimes it might come on. So I don't have an iPod.
What's your next race, Sarah?
I think I go to Italy in about 3 weeks' time. If my customers will let me go. I haven't actually asked them yet. But I've got an invitation to a 6-day in Italy, pretty close to Naples. So I'm hoping to just beg my customers for some couple of weeks off. So
you go 6 days and whoever runs furthest is the winner.
Yeah.
And how many kilometres do you aim to do?
Well, my best is 714 for a 6 day. So I hope, you know, I'm always aiming to do a bit better than that. But yeah, we'll see what happens.
Well, I'm sure people in Adelaide have clean enough houses that you can go.
Hopefully.
We wish you all the very best for it. It's inspiring to talk to you. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you very much.
Sarah Barnett, an ultra marathon runner. Are you, or like me, are you an ultra slow runner? A different category entirely. Go to our Facebook page, RN Life Matters, and tell us about your attempts, successful or otherwise, around the racetrack or the neighbourhood block.
Want to hear about the best party in town this election season? It's a new podcast with me, Frank Kelly.
And me, Patricia Carvelis.
The Party Room, your essential guide to this federal election. Subscribe now. Simply search for The Party Room in your podcast app.
Or listen via the RN website, abc.net.au/RN.